Having a positive attitude will not let you do everything, but it will let you do everything better than a negative attitude. And it's just good common sense. A better attitude, and it starts in the morning. Doesn't matter what you feel like, you've got to change that attitude.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. You guys are amazing. Every week, you guys email me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com. You talk to me on LinkedIn. You tell me what you like. You tell me what you don't like. You tell me what you want to hear. And this week, I have got yet another surprise for you. You know, a few weeks back, we had Tom Ziegler on the show, and I've got another incredible, positive man with an attitude. I'd say this man has got an attitude problem because I don't think there's enough attitude for this guy. Fred Kinley is on my show. Fred, welcome to the show.
Ben, I appreciate you having me on here. We were talking a little bit earlier before the show started, and I'm just thrilled to be here. I listened to your interview with Tom, and I got so excited. I said, I got to get a hold of this guy, Ben Baker. He's got a smile on his face. He's a great interviewer. I just got to talk to him. So I'm lucky enough. Here I am.
Well, I love the fact that you talk about, you know, and you've been doing this for a long time now, talking about attitude. And I want to get into attitude, but let's give the audience a couple minutes, find out, you know, where did you come from? Who are you? Where are you today? And then we'll get into where you're going.
Okay. Let me start with, I was born and raised in El Paso, Texas. I ended up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area because I came here, my wife and my daughter and I, in 1984. I went to work for Texas Instruments. And it's been a great run. They're a great company. I spent 22 years there between Texas Instruments and Raytheon. But all the way through that, I was also a musician for about 25 years. And we went all over the place. We played in several myriad of clubs and stuff. And I've always wanted to be an entertainer. I've always wanted to entertain people. I wanted to make them feel good about themselves. I wanted to make them laugh even. And I was usually the lead speaker on the stage with the band. And I'd heckle back and forth with the audience. And I love making people laugh when I could. I'm a half a comedian, you know. So I love being a ham. But the goal is to see a smile on people's faces. So being a musician and being in all kinds of stuff, I was an electrician. I owned a couple of small businesses in El Paso. And then I came here as an electrician, worked for TI. And I became a supervisor, a Six Sigma expert. And then I went into, you know, other things. And then I started doing some speaking. And I started doing some teaching at TI and Raytheon. And part of it was safety. Part of it was ethics. Part of it was Six Sigma. I just love teaching things that I've learned, you know, through my own mistakes and my own fallacies. I love sharing the knowledge that say, hey, don't do it this. Here's a better way to do it, and do it with a better attitude. And I would teach safety lessons at, you know, just OSHA rules and regulations. They give you these PowerPoints to go through, and I go into these meetings. I look at these guys down there, and I start doing the meeting. And these guys were like, oh, you know, going to sleep. Oh, yeah, I could be doing something better. And I think this is not very effective. And I've gone to safety meetings, and I've gone to other leadership meetings. I've gone to health meetings. I've gone all these things. And some of them are just not exciting enough. And then I, you know, all through my life, I got hooked into listening to Zig Ziglar tapes, Stephen Covey, all of these guys, John Rohn, all of these people. And I thought, that's what I want to do. So somewhere in my brain, I started using everything I've been as a musician, being on stage, being on people, being a teacher, a trainer, being in classes myself. I said, there's just got to be, what is the secret ingredient? I just came up and said, it all comes down to attitude. And my main mantra is change your attitude, change your life. You can have a bad attitude, it's going to change your life. You have a good attitude, it's going to change your life too. And so I always encourage people, God, change your attitude to a better one. I love using Zig's quotes because he said, having a positive attitude will not let you do everything, but it will let you do everything better than a negative attitude. And it's just good common sense. A better attitude, and it starts in the morning. Doesn't matter what you feel like. You've got to change that attitude. Issues come and hit us every day of the week. A seminar called Faith with an Attitude, usually on Sundays. And I use this thing on Psalm 93, talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, da, da, da. And people, yeah, I say, you all forget the through part. It says, yea, though I walk through y'all set up camp, put a campfire out there, start cooking meals. You live there in that misery and tribulations. Me, I said, you're going to get through it. We all face stuff.
It's a waypoint. It's not where we end up. It's just a waypoint to get to something better.
But if you have a bad attitude and you stick there, you're going to have a miserable life. And everything that you do just compounds to the negative side of it. And your health, your attitude, your relationship, your finances, they all start going downhill.
It's fascinating. I mean, for me, I want to go back to your time at TI and at Raytheon, because you said you were teaching the OSHA stuff, the health and safety. I've sat on probably 100 different OSHA different seminars over my lifetime, and I haven't seen one of them that's been better than dry toast. The way that they teach them is the fact that thou shalt do, or thou shalt not. And it tends to be a dictum from up high. And there really isn't a lot of, you shouldn't do this because, or if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And here's how we do it better. So I want to find out, how did you take your attitude? Because you really are. You are the guy that helps people change attitudes. Where was the aha moment and the click that got you to sit there and say, okay, how do I reach these people through humor, through changing their attitude, to all of a sudden take this dry toast, material that everybody has to go through and make it relevant and make it so the fact that people sit there and go, oh, I get it. Okay, I am going to be more safe. I am going to think about this. I am going to do this, because that's what the real magic is.
Exactly. My aha moment comes in stages, I guess, because being in maintenance and being an actual electrician and working out, out in the field and things like that, plus at TI and stuff, digging ditches, pulling wire, doing whatever it was, we had to wear goggles and all kinds of safety rules. And I'd go to these safety meetings, they'd be like, yeah, I got it. I'll wear my hat and everything. But when I was working alongside of my peers, they would always complain, these safety glasses getting in my way. Oh, I can't work in this hot panel with these gloves on. What? You got 420 volts in there, 480 volts in there. You got to, I'm going to take my glove. No. So I watch this stuff and I say, wait a minute. Why? It's not about rules and regulations. Man. It's about getting killed. So these aha moments of watching these guys. And well, the supervisor's gone. Take my son. I don't have to wear my safety glasses. Those are my eyes. I said, what are you taking those off for? So when I became a supervisor and I walk onto a job site, I see these guys. They see me coming, the boss, and they start putting on their glasses and their hats and the stuff. I said, no, wait, stop. Just take them back off. We're supposed to wear them. I said, well, you weren't wearing them before I got here. Why do you think we want you to wear that? Well, you want it to be safe. But it wasn't sticking in. So I started looking at things, and there's several real incidences, horrible things that have happened that I've seen firsthand, a couple of things that happened to me that were my stupid fault. But I saw these things. I would ask people from then on, I'd say, you know what? Do you have kids? Oh, yeah. You got a boy? Yeah. Got a girl? Yeah. Did you go home and play ball with your boy? Play catch, football, whatever? Oh, yeah. I said, you know what? Stop a minute. It's not about your safety glasses here, because it's a rule or a regulation for wherever you're working. I said, do you want to go home tonight and be able to play catch with your boy? Do you want to be able to go home and spend time with your husband or your wife? You want to be able to see you, talk to your grandparents, your mom, your dad. It's all about you and your family. Forget about the rules and regulations. It's about you being healthy, safety. It's about you going home with all your fingers, toes, and God forbid you go to the hospital or the morgue. It's not rules and regulations. It's about your life. It's about safety. It's about you and your family. And you're responsible for going home to them, not the company, not the rules and regulations. You're responsible for it. And then I stop about then and I say, wait a minute, we've been serious too long. Let me tell you a funny story. So I break it up and I'll do one right now. What I would do is when I call the Princess Frog, and I love telling with an Irish accent because it's always funnier. So there I was in Dublin. I'm walking along the riverbank here and I'm looking on the brook, is dabbling in this. All the birds were chirping in the trees. It was wonderful. And I looked down and there was this big, huge green frog. Ooh, I grabbed that frog up and I looked that frog in the eyes, and that frog looked at me and she spoke to me. She said, if you give me a big kiss, I'll turn into a beautiful young princess. I said, really? And this was an ugly frog. She said, if I give you a kiss, you'll turn into a beautiful young princess. She said, aye, that I will, matey. She said, give me a big kiss. And I said, no. She says, what do you mean, no? You don't want me to turn into a beautiful young princess? I said, look, honey, I'm 76 years old. I'd rather have a talking frog. So, you know, just whatever you do to break that system, every 7 minutes, 8 minutes, you know, it's kind of a thing that Zig taught me. Get them to laugh. Tell them a story. Make them laugh. Do something out of the ordinary. It refocuses them. It takes away the humdrum. You got to teach the serious stuff. You got to teach. You got to wear your hat because OSHA said, and the rules and regulations. Then you got to make them laugh and understand it's because of your family. It has nothing to do with the job as much.
And that's what we need to do when we're doing training of any way, shape, or form. We need to make it relevant to the people that we're using. And we're trying to get them to understand, you're right, it's not for OSHA. OSHA is going to continue being OSHA whether you're dead or not. You know, the company is going to go on. They may end up having to pay a fine, but they're going to end up going on whether you're dead or not, but your family may not. And, you know, there was a wonderful campaign a few years ago, and it's still going on. It's called Cone Zone. And they put up these extra large pictures of construction workers with their kids along the side of the highway. And it says, go slow. My dad works here. My mom works here. Or my sister works here, or whatever. And these things are all along the side of the highway. And they realize that when people see that, there's a reason why they get it. There's a reason why they should slow down. It's a reason why they should be more comfortable. A reason why they should, you know, veer off a little bit to the left to make sure that there's a little bit more room on the right-hand side. But it's a matter of making it relevant for people and making it human for them. And I think that, and that brings it back to attitude, is when we create the right attitude, when we give people the understanding, not only this is what you should do, but this is why you do it, and this is how it's going to make your life better and the people around you better, I think people will walk on those hot coals where before they're going to sit there and cross their arms and say, hey, this is not my responsibility.
Exactly. And, you know, the same principle not only applies to safety, but I'm waiting for Tom, bless his heart. Tom Ziegler is writing the foreword to my fourth book, Leadership with an Attitude. And also, lucky me, I become friends with Ken Blanchard, and he's writing an endorsement for me in it. And hopefully I'll get it out either at the end of this month or in April. But it's the same thing with people, because the same lesson, about the same aha moments came when I was working alongside these guys that say, I'm just an electrician here. I'm not very important. I don't matter that much. And my whole premise on this Leadership with an Attitude book and the seminars that I do, it's because you don't have to be the boss to be a leader. You can be the best janitor in your field. You can be a leader in that field. You can be a leader as an administrative assistant. Oh, I just answered the phone. No, you don't. You're the first voice people hear. And it's, again, it's about making that person feel important, driving that home. It's your attitude about your job. If you feel like it's, no, you're just nothing, well, you're not going to do very good at your job. You're not going to be very successful. If you feel that you're important enough, you're not just a cog in the wheel, that you're a vital part of mowing the lawn out front of this whole entire company, then you feel prouder. You feel more productive. Your attitude changes, you come up, you feel better about yourself. Lo and behold, guess what? You're probably healthier.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. I tell people that leadership is a mindset and not a job title. I have yet to have somebody come up to me and put a business card in front of me that says leader. 52 years, I've never seen somebody put a business card in front of me where it says leader. I think we need to think more like leaders as human beings. We need to sit there and say, how can I affect not only myself, but the people around me? How can I make the people around me better? How can I help make the situation around me better? And it may just be for these 5 people. It may just be for these 10 people. But if you can change the lives, if you can help to change the lives of 5 or 10 people, and each one of them change the lives of 5 or 10 people, a movement starts. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, because I think that the glass is neither half full or half empty, it's actually refillable.
It can be filled again.
How do we help people refill their glass? How do we help people? Because you say something about first thing in the morning, and I want to go back to that because you kind of glanced over it. But I love your thought process of what do you do in the morning And then let's go from there about how do we help people change their attitude?
Let me use an example. For the last, I don't know, about 5 years, I've been doing a lot of my Health with an Attitude and my other seminars at a lot of the assisted living homes and retirement communities. And I love doing that. You talk about a great audience. You can't find a better audience than these guys. Oh, these guys and gals, they're just super. They're wonderful. They're a treasure trove of information and just love. But a lot of it's about health at their age. And I tell people, they say, I know you have an issue. Everybody has any health issues. You get older and stuff, things start showing up that you didn't ask for. And I say, I know some days you get up and it's just hard to change that attitude to positive. It hard things start going good. I say, you still have to motivate yourself. And it's a driving force. First thing in the morning, you have to start with, if you get up and you're in a good mood, say, okay, I'm going to stay in a good mood and I'm going to share this attitude and it's going to be a great day. And boy, it's going to have a great lunch today. If it's going to be good, roses and peaches. If they're not, you still keep that roller coaster going. This happened. Well, you got to come out of that. It's not a once in a day time. It's not once in a month. It's not only the beginning of the day. It's whatever happens during your day. Things, issues show up. And it's that constant battle. Being positive is not just a passive exercise. It's a constant effort because a lot of times things will happen. You know, you drive along and boom, there's a flat tire. The engine light comes on. You know, oh, now what? Oh, well, you're going to face this problem, whatever the problem is, whether it's health, your car is bad, broken down on the freeway. What are you going to do about it? If letting your attitude go into dumpster, your resolute, anything that you're coming up with the solutions or, you know, what am I going to do about it? Is not never going to be as good as if you approach it with the right positive attitude. Okay, what else can I do? Let's think positive. What do I need to do? What are the steps I need to take? I was diagnosed with severe rheumatoid arthritis over 30 years ago. And they told me, they said it was I'd be with hip replacements and everything in a couple of years. And here I am 30 some odd years later, I'm doing fine because I do what they asked me to do and I fight it with my mind. If I get a swelling in my eye, I don't wake up, oh, it's going to be a miserable day. This hurts. Oh, God. I start talking to it and I say, okay, it's going to get better. And the body has a miraculous healing powers on itself. And you can actually help change the chemical structure of your body, form, you know, your endorphins, your all of these chemical composures start working. If you're in a better attitude, you can think better. Your brain is clearer. Whatever issues you're faced with, your attitude is imperative if it's good. And it will make better decisions for you. But if things happen every day and you can't just let it rest. You have to fight that negative attitude and bring yourself out of the bad attitude situation, whatever it takes.
And that's the thing is that you have people, and too many people, as far as I'm concerned, have negative attitudes. You know, the car light goes on, their life has come to an end. They get a flat tire, their life has come to an end. The meal that they want at the restaurant, they're out of chicken and their life has come to an end.
The waiter was terrible.
I call these first world problems. There's always going to be somebody that's going to have more than me. There's always going to be somebody who has less than me. I can't control either one of them. All I can do is say, you know what? How can I be a little bit better today than I was yesterday? And all I can do is sit there and say, okay, I can't control what people do. I can only control how I react. But how do we help people with that? I mean, this is baked into my DNA. This is something that's been beaten into me for 52 years. Thank God people had a big enough hammer and a baseball bat at a young age and beat this into me. But how do we take people that have been not so fortunate, that always look at the glass, it's either empty or almost empty, and get them to realize that, you know what, their life is not so terrible. Their life, you know, that there's always great things to be appreciative. And get them to build their life step by step, because they're not going to go from being a negative person to an ultra positive person overnight. It's not going to happen. So how do we help these people get along the journey to make their lives better?
Gosh, I like using real life examples and I like using other people. I like my Health with an Attitude. I always say, you know, laughter is the best medicine. And I bring up on the screen first face that shows up. I asked him, who's this guy? What's Bob Hope? And I said, he lived to be 100, making people laugh. I said, but in turn, making them laugh, he laughed himself. And you know what? He lived to be 100. George Burns, next picture comes up, 100 years.
Almost made it. He was close.
Yeah, 93.
Yeah.
I said, he didn't make it to 100, but he's still 93 and he was still doing stuff. And then I bring up Dick Van Dyke. And I said, I bring him up because he's 95 now. He's still alive. I said, 2 years ago, he did a tap dance on Broadway. He's still doing commercials. He's still doing interviews. You know, you see him show up. You guys aren't through yet. It's all on their attitude because they helped other people. And then I bring up one of my heroes. Boom, William Shatner shows up. Says, I bring this guy up. I said, because look, at 90 years old, Captain Kirk went into space. Mm-hmm. You know, actually went into space and came back at 90 years old. You're not done yet. But it has to be done with a positive attitude. And then, you know, I still turn it on to themself. It's up to you to motivate. I won't be here tomorrow. I won't be here the next day. It's up to you. And then I start using the example, especially with the older folks. I say, you remember the I Love Lucy show? And they're, oh, yeah, yeah. And I tell them, you got to think of these things. Put pictures in your mind. I say, you remember Lucy and Ethel in the chocolate factory? And if you ever remember, you remember the scene.
I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes because it's such a wonderful thing.
The audience automatic. Oh, yeah. And they start grinning. I said, see what I mean? Paint pictures. I said, you got to change your attitude. Do whatever it takes. I said, surround yourself with positive people. You know, I walked up to somebody and say, ask, how are you feeling? Or how are you doing today? And wish you'd never asked. They will unload on you. I said, you spend 5 minutes with them. You're worn out. I said, you got to watch out for the next. You try to make them feel better, but don't let them bring you down. Just surround yourself with positive people. You talked about the Ziegler family. I got hooked in with them years ago. And, oh, you know, Tom is great. Cindy's great. She's just a sweet, sweet lady. Ziegler's secretary. Lori Magers. I swear, if you catch her in the right light, you'll see wings on her back. She's an angel. And Tom, Brian Flanagan, you ought to interview him if you can. And then you go to these Monday morning devotionals that they have every Monday morning on Zoom from 7:30 to 8, you're surrounded with nothing but positive, go-getting people. It's like taking a shot in the arm of vitamin B12. God, surround yourself with positive people. Get away from the negative.
I have this vivid memory of my wife's grandmother. At 93 years old, she finally went into the old age home because she couldn't get a good game of cards in her building anymore. All of her friends had already moved into the old age home. So she went, okay, fine, I'll move in there. But she went in there and goes, you know what? I don't like the welcome package. I don't think that you guys have a nice enough welcome package for new residents. So she made one. She says, I really don't like the newsletter. So she created a new newsletter for the old age home. I mean, up to the time she was 96 years old when she finally passed, this woman was sitting there going, what can I do to make other people's lives better? And I think we need to stop thinking about what can I do to make my life better? We need to think about what can we do to make other people's lives better? And when we do that, our lives become better in the meantime. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, well, it's exactly, it goes back to another one of Zig Ziglar's favorite quote, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. And it's so true, because when I finish a seminar, and if there was 10 people in the room or 20 people or 100 people, if there's people out there that I reached, I bounce off the stage. I'm happy. I've reached some, I've touched somebody's life. I've changed their attitude. And that's my main goal, is to change people's attitude, entertain them, make them feel good about themselves, motivate them, inspire them to have a better attitude themselves. And you're exactly right. You're a grandmother. That's exactly right. Go there wherever you are. And you think, well, this ain't good. This needs to be improved. I can improve. Well, how can I improve it? And there's so many people, and that goes back to leadership. Your grandmother wasn't the boss.
She was the boss of the whole family. That woman took, you know, whatever she said went.
She didn't have that business card that said leader on it, did she?
Absolutely not.
But she went in and became a leader there and an example to everybody else around. And everybody else around, you know, you got about 5 balls in order. You pull that one up and it hits the kinetic balls and they swing back. You're that one. The minute she let go and she hit that other ball, she affected everybody else in that complex. And it's the same way as throwing that pebble in the pond, those ripples go out. You don't know who they're going to affect, but your smile, your attitude will affect somebody somewhere down the line. And that's what we should all be doing.
Let's take a look at how COVID has changed what you did. Because like me, like Tom and I had a great conversation, either on air or off air. We became persona non grata in March 2020. And I'm sure you were the same way. You know, we had speaking gigs across North America, around the world, gone in 72 hours. works. And we ended up having to reinvent ourselves. So we ended up having to go online. So what are the things that you've learned through this process, through this change, through different the medium that can help leaders become better leaders and enable them to help their teams have a better attitude when you can't be in front of them? Because there is a little bit of distance when we're over Zoom meeting or this, that, the other thing. You can't just reach out and grab somebody by the shoulder. You can't sit there and have that same face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversation. So how do you help people and motivate people when there is that little bit of distance in between that's keeping you from having that almost human-to-human interaction?
We all had to go virtual. Like you said, my mainstream was I was driving all over the place, going here and all over, down to Midlothian, down to here, all over doing these live gigs. You know, I loved it. That's great. And I miss it like crazy.
Me too.
But I had to learn, okay, how do I do this? What's with the media out there? And I learned, so I said, what is this Zoom thing that everybody's talking about? So I went and looked at that and I said, okay, I can learn how to do that. And it's not that hard. So I could do that. And I started doing how to, you know, put your presentations up there and still have your face up there in the corner and still be able to present. It's not as effective, like you said, but it's still a means of getting out there. But you had to pivot and learn how to play the game on social media. I use a lot on LinkedIn, and, you know, business leaders are coming by the droves. You can see them showing up daily. And, you know, you get LinkedIn and say, hey, you know, will you connect with me, blah, blah, blah. Or you go out looking for people. I encourage people that are, even in a business sense, I said, what, you want to get around some positive people? I said, go join LinkedIn. Facebook and all these other, it's like, you know, the movie magazines, you know, say Insider magazines and stuff, all of this stuff. LinkedIn has a lot of positive people giving out positive thoughts, positive lessons, and you can scan through and pick up the ones that mean something to you. So those, I've encouraged business leaders to do that. One of the main things I've seen that it's been encouraging to me that I did a long time ago, a safety seminar. I did about 9 different meetings for the Mary Kay. And they have a big, huge assembly line here in the Dallas area. And they make all the makeup and stuff. And about 600 and some odd people, but they're all different shifts. So I had to go live and do all of these. Whereas via Zoom and via this beautiful, you know, technology age, I could have done it a lot more of them at one sitting at different locations all at the same time. And so there's an advantage. Right now, I've really kicked into trying to get working with cities and their risk management teams and their leadership teams on doing the two ones that they really need, which is safety with an attitude and leadership with an attitude, teaching everybody that clerk, if the city desk up there doesn't think his or her job's that important, it is important. You know it is. Well, you ever gone to City Hall and tried to go through this? Some of these people, they don't think they're important. And once you instill in them that they're important, that attitude goes up. And so the other thing is safety with risk management. I can not only hit the people in the office, but if they can get somebody out in the field with a TV set and hook up there, I can do the same meeting at the same time with a crew of guys that are out there working in the streets, along with the leaders sitting in the business room and a conference room at the same time. So that's really one of the beauties of what we've got our hands on right now that we can use to our advantage instead of our detriment.
So it's being able to teach leaders how to use the technology correctly and be able to use it to empower our people instead of, you know, creating a situation where people feel powerless. And I think that that's what we need to do. We need to enable our teams and enable the people that we work with to realize that, hey, you two are important. I don't care if you're sweeping the street or you're the chief engineer within this company. Each one of us have a role within this company to make the company better and to help our clients succeed. And I think that when we can show that to people, the better off it will be.
You think it would be a common sense thing to think that way. But like you said, you've been browbeat since you were a kid. I just got lucky. God just blessed me with this stupid attitude I got that I've been just so thankful for. But what I've seen is some of the leaders say, well, it's going to be hard to get all these people in, you know, and you don't have to put them in the same room. And you see this look of, aha, come over these people. And they're not unintelligent people. They've just been on this wheel of everybody's got, okay, we got to come to this meeting room. We hold this meeting. We got to go to the cafeteria. We got to, no, they can be out there. Just set them up in front of a TV. Set 5 of them out in front of a computer. you don't have to have this big meeting hall. You can do it with this added. And that's, like you said, teaching these people how to use the technology in today's world to their advantage and still make all their team, every city worker in the city, every person in a hospital, everybody, the guy that's out there mowing the lawn, it's important. You drive up to a business and that yard looks terrible. The building's not painted. The door handle's loose. You think, yeah, maybe I don't want to do business.
It reflects on the entire company. Absolutely.
You know, it's hard to use this example anymore with younger people. I show on my presentation, I show a little pocket watch in the back with all the gears and in the wheels. And, you know, they look at, what is that? And I say, a company just like this, it's got all these, you think you're just a cog in a wheel. You break one of those little teeth off. I said, it's going to work just fine until it hits that part where that it stops. I said, you're that cog. You're that important factor. So, and it's getting a mindset again to these leaders to understand that if I can tell my janitor, if I can tell my landscape guy out there, if I can tell the COF over here, if I can talk to the risk manager, if I can talk to all of my people in whatever organization you're in, big or small, if I can talk to them and let them know they're important, the company runs smoother, more productive, people get on board, they try to listen to what the leader wants, they start going in the same direction. And all of a sudden, their success rate goes way up.
Perfect. So two last questions, and I'm going to let you go. The first is the most important. How do people get in touch with you? What's the best way for people to get in touch?
Okay. The easiest way is, like, I don't use websites. What I have is my email address. And I get a lot of emails, and they're the easiest to get back and forth with. Everybody's got an email out there. So I say, just send me an email.
And it's fkienle at aol.com, correct?
That is correct.
Perfect. We'll make sure that's in the show notes.
Okay. And if you're on LinkedIn, just pull my name up. You can get it. But you also, there's a link you can click on if you put that in. I sent it to you. So if you can put that in there too, that's fine. If not, if you anybody's on LinkedIn, just look up Fred, K-I-E-N-L-E. Put it in the, you know, find up there in the left-hand corner up there, and it'll bring up my profile, and it's got my my LinkedIn address, my email address, and all the crazy stuff I do.
There you go. So before I let you go, I've loved our conversation. We've had a really good conversation. I really appreciate it. This is a question I ask everybody. When you get it out of a meeting or you come off stage and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about when you're not in the room?
I want them to think, that guy, Fred, put a smile on my face, made me feel good, and made sense. Whether it's about safety, whether it's about health, what made me feel good, made me laugh, and made sense.
I think that if we can lead with humor, we can get people to not only internalize, we can get them to recall it and retell it. And I love your magic. I love the fact that you are a man with an attitude. And thank you for being such an amazing guest.
Thank you for having me on your show, Bennett. I feel honored just to have this meeting and this conversation with you, share these wonderful ideas back and forth. And we're not through yet. I mean, I know we'll talk, chat back and forth on email and on LinkedIn and stuff, because we always like or post our posts and stuff. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live. And share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?